This is From Maine with Love, an Allagash Brewing podcast where we talk about beer, our community here in Maine, and things that generally make us happy. And we have two community members here joining us from Portland Trails. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, so Brett, I am here. Liz Wilson, marketing manager. And then we have Angelique Bichilualwa, inclusion coordinator for Portland Trails, and Lindsay Conrad, director of development for Portland Trails.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. I feel like.
Yes, it is fun.
What a treat.
Fun to have guests. And also to not exactly know everything we're going to hear.
Yeah.
I think we experienced that with the Sebago Clean Waters. I think I honestly learned a lot on that.
They're podcast. A great organization.
Yeah. They're very cool, yeah. And they do a lot. So, before we get into speaking about trails and everything that they entail here in Portland, I do have to ask a special question for each of you that you will hopefully enjoy answering. And Lindsay, I'll start with you so you can kind of get a feel for it.
Okay.
I know you are in opera, but what is the best play that you've ever kind of experienced or seen?
Ooh, that's a great question. Okay, so are we talking about like a play with that? Like we're not talking about musicals, right?
It could be a musical. It could be a play, a musical. I think it's just kind of like a live performance that you have seen that affected you.
Ooh, okay. Well, I just recently, about 2 years ago or so, I saw The Band's Visit on Broadway. Highly recommend. Maybe it got the Tony Award for Best Musical in like 2019 to 20 years, 2020, something like that. But oh my God, it was just amazing. I have a friend who does Broadway stuff. He's in it. And so he'll get us, tickets every now
That's
and then.
Awesome.
So just last fall, I saw Hamilton, which is great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's great. To kind of keep up on what's happening in the Broadway world and try to go see them every once in a while and fit it in with a trip to New York at the same time. Ooh.
That's awesome.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I did. My mom's big into theater, so she will buy me tickets from time to time. And so I did get to go see Dear Evan Hansen. Have you ever heard of that one?
Yeah.
So I saw Dear Evan Hansen. But the reason why I want to bring it up is because Steven Spielberg was in the audience.
No
and
way.
So the people in that was the hardest I've ever seen anyone act in my life. The people
were working
just
hard.
Sending it. Yeah. They were going as hard as possible. It was it was pretty cool. They were sweating. They're working hard.
Could you see him in the audience?
I did. He was just down over a couple rows. Yeah.
See, that would be very hard for me because I would be trying to do I watch Steven Spielberg watching this or do I watch the actual thing? I feel I would go back and forth.
Yeah. No, I did not. No, I watched the play. It was good. It was really good.
Great. Okay.
All right, Angelique, I hear that you have a recipe in the Maine Bicentennial Cookbook. What is the recipe?
Yes, it's I think that was a salt fish.
Okay. Mm.
It's a Congolese recipe. Salt fish and some veggies, eggplant, white pepper and green peppers, and onion.
Oh, nice.
It's so delicious.
That sounds great. Mm. What is salt fish then? Is it just salted fish or is it a specific?
It's... I don't know how you can call that here.
Right, right.
But it's a fish. They it's salt but they dry that with salt.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So before you cook them, you have to put in the water all night to remove all the salt.
Oh, yeah, to rehydrate
out.
It. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then you can make it as you like if you need more salt in it or if you don't eat salt at all. You can remove all the salt.
Oh, that's great. That sounds good. I've never used salted fish in cooking. I think I've always been intimidated because I didn't know how to necessarily treat it. But
it's just the way they dry that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fish.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That does sound really good.
Yeah.
Angelique has also made donuts for us.
Oh, I think I've had one of those.
Angelique's famous donuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes. They're not. They're not sweet. Which is
not really
something that here you think of donuts and you're
really?
Sugar bomb.
Yeah. Right.
What is the flavor?
It's I made that with the flour, some sugar, not more.
Okay, sure.
It's one egg, if you are not allergic to eggs, and milk, the 1% milk. If you don't support the dairy, you can maybe, at the place of milk, you can put water.
Oh, okay.
There is a recipe also at, in Amjambo.
Oh, yeah.
I made
that's
African
right.
donut.
Ah.
If you tap in Amjambo, Angelique African donut, you will find all recipe we found.
Oh, perfect.
How many flowers to take, how many milk, and everything.
Yeah.
I explain all the process through the...
Look it up.
It's really good. They're really easy. You said they were pretty easy
to make.
Easy.
I choose the easiest way to make it.
Yeah.
Because it's with... everything is in already. You don't need to put some... the all-purpose flour is different. You have to put so many stuff inside. Mm.
Totally.
But I choose the one where it says self-raising.
Mm.
There is already everything is there. We'll just add some milk and sugar if you need. And then we will need oil to fry them.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's like fried dough.
Oh, yeah. Sounds really good. Yeah. So to the topic at hand.
You're not going to secret question me?
I was going to... Do you want to be secret questioned? I don't know. I was going to let you slide this time, Liz. But
we could dive into it, Brett.
No, actually, I do have a secret question.
You do?
I did think about this, yes. Has the woodchuck returned?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I have a backyard woodchuck, and it's not great.
Oh, no.
She has a dog who's its nemesis.
Dog.
It's like...
Yeah. I know this is not going to prevent the woodchuck from getting back in my yard, but my husband has some, like... I guess it's like chicken wire, and I cut a piece of it and I buried it in where he was digging in, and I like put dirt. I'm like, take that, woodchuck, and so far so good. But I did that this weekend because he came in and ate all of the tops of my asters and like left a stalk. And that was it. And he was just like...
He was like making coffee in the morning. Like, I came in and he was in my house. He was getting some pickles.
I'll just keep people updated how this goes.
Okay,
I don't feel confident. Brett.
We'll check in next time.
Surf or turf?
Oh, surf or turf. Oh, man. I can't choose. It's one in a situation. It's situational. I think I'd go for, right now, I'd probably go for turf. For some reason, a big steak does sound pretty nice.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, at the moment. Thank you. That's a good one. I like that. So before we dive in, I wanted to start just with a little personal anecdote of why I'm especially excited to talk about Portland Trails is that I think 2020, during, you know, the beginning of the COVID pandemic, I would not have gotten through it if it were not for Portland Trails. Because I live here in Portland, and that having that, I'd like maybe a 4-minute walk away from my house. I went on the trails probably at least like once a day. It was such a wonderful respite.
That's awesome.
Being cooped up.
Yeah. That's so good to hear. It was a lot of people did that.
Yeah.
We got so many different emails and letters and different things of how much it really like saved people when the pandemic hit, and a lot more use on the trail. There was points where the trails were busy,
totally.
Like actually busy.
Oh yeah, totally.
Or going to parking lots, and you're like, shoot,
yeah.
I got to go find another trail.
Yeah.
That's so good to hear. I'm so excited. I mean, that's really what they are. They're a resource. They're supposed to be a resource for everyone. So,
totally.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you want to do the first question?
Yeah. So I think just to put Portland Trails in perspective, and just to give a little background, you know, we live in a city. I think some people think that there's not a lot of green space around in a city, but could you give us just a bit of context of how vast Portland Trails is? And
Of course. Yeah. So Portland Trails has been around for 32 years. We were founded in 1991. We have 76 miles of trails that wind all the way through Portland, but also Westbrook, South Portland, and Falmouth. And the trails were strategically put there as connectors to different neighborhoods. So the interesting thing about Portland Trails is that we actually don't own most of the land that our trails are on.
Mm-hmm.
because we're in an urban setting, right? So a lot of it is like easements from our awesome like landowners and private landowners and businesses. We work really closely with the city of Portland. We maintain some of the land that they own. They maintain some of the land that we own. So we have a very, you know, sort of tight relationship there.
That's cool.
But it's 76 miles and they really connect the different neighborhoods. And specifically because we wanted to not only create places where people could have like respite, they could like go out and have recreation, they could do things for their physical and mental health, but also so that it acts as like essentially an infrastructure, like an off-road infrastructure to encourage people not to use cars. I mean, Portland is changing. It is changing fast. And it is, our little city is becoming not so little. And there's a lot of people here. And the more we could encourage people to use non-car, or at least not single-use car, the better it's going to be. So we really think of it as kind of a resource. The biggest thing that we have to sort of contend with sometimes is that we aren't a government agency. I think a lot of people, and I think probably some of that is part of the name, right? It's called Portland Trails. So you're like, well, obviously it's the it's the Trails Department in Portland, right? But no, we're a nonprofit. We do work closely with some of the cities, but we're completely supported by donations and members and, you know, grants like the ones from Allegash and different corporate sponsors. So it's that gives a little background on it, I guess.
That's perfect.
Definitely. And also to be very clear, like these are trails in the woods. Like this is what the trail, you know, I don't know what else, I don't know what other sort of trail it could possibly be, but I was just thinking, I was like, we haven't been really specific on like,
that's true.
They're trails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you live in Portland or come visit Portland, go and find some, because there are some that are, you know, I think about like things on the, in the East End where we call them trails, but they're really just like pathways because school kids were going through this like backyard to get to school because that's the shortest way. Right. We're like, okay, let's make this real and safe. So let's create like a pathway. And it's right in the middle of like the city. And then there's things like Four River Sanctuary. I highly recommend anyone to go check it out.
I'm trying to think if I've been, I think I've been.
It's Four River.
Jewel Falls. Yeah.
That's a favorite of mine.
It's the only natural waterfall in Portland.
I don't think I've been then.
We're taking our next meeting. We're going to Jewel Falls. Perfect.
And you're really like right in the middle of Portland. I mean, you are probably a maybe, I don't know, 6 minute drive from like Monument Square, but it feels like you are in the middle of of the woods, essentially.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess what goes into maintaining the trails? You know, what is that sort of work?
That's a great question. And probably Anjanlik and I are like not maybe the best people to answer this. We have a, so we have a very small staff. We have seven people. We have two people, Jamie Parker and Daniel Bishop, who are trails trails guys. And they we also have some seasonal help. But they take care of essentially about 50 miles of trails between the two of them and some seasonals. So I mean, it's a lot of people think that trails just sort of you build them and then they're there. It's amazing how much maintenance, and I'll say especially with climate change, that we're seeing a lot, you know, actually using the example of Four River Sanctuary, has a lot of different ecosystems there. There's marshland, there's forest, there's a waterfall. So there's all these different things. Things like erosion, flooding, all of that has become more and more, you know. Just an issue. And also, as we have loved that more people are using the trails since 2020, but it is more like usage. And so, I mean, really a lot of it is invasive plants and making sure the pathways are clear, erosion. We do, our trail managers are awesome. They have so much knowledge about how to do trails, how to, you know, there's different layers of gravel and stone and things that have to go under the dirt. And some are more rustic. They really go into the experience of creating, like, some of these trails are really rustic and we want to keep them that way. And some trails we want to make as accessible as possible. And that's something we keep trying to do more of, you know. I like our trail manager always says, like, design for the least able person, and then you're sure to make most people happy, right? So that's something we keep working on. But also, do you have anything to add, Anjali? Because I realize I'm just doing
Yeah. Thank you about that. So our tourist manager are doing something like the volunteer days.
Yeah.
Where they can do some cleanup on the trail to make them like more clear and more welcomeable.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there is, with the climate change, there is some bridge can fall away with the water and everything.
Yep.
They need to fix those bridges because they need people to be able to walk on. And
Yeah. I've done a couple of the cleanups and I've helped build a bridge or two.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's fun to build those. And it's like simple but durable.
Yeah. But also like, I'm tired after a day of
training. It is. But you feel great. You say that I did something good for everyone.
Yeah.
I went to one volunteer day at Evergreen Cemetery.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, I've been on that trip.
It was like, it was hard. And how can we do this? Okay. We tried. We cleaned up. And when people was using the trail, they were like, they were happy. Oh, thank you for doing this. Now it's clear. I can bike on. And I feel great. I said, I did something good.
That's great.
That is a big part of it too, is, you know, we were hearing you speak before and you were saying that, you know, it's all free. And there is definitely that sort of like, we'll get into that more, but it's like, it's so incredible to have these available to us, maintained, and also just, they're so like plentiful. Because for like 70, you said 76 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So Portland has, I think, 65,000 people in it at this point, which is like, it's like a university. Like it's like a large college, you know, it's not a huge city. So that is so many trails for the number of people we have.
And that's also not counting all of the different like parks and green spaces that are like maintained by the city of Portland too.
Right.
So there's the whole like parks and rec department that have all these parks and things. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Yeah.
So in that vein, do either of you have a favorite trail at the moment or a preferred trail?
Ooh,
I can share my story of the Back Cove one.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I knew that trail before to know the organization.
Mm.
I was living at Washington Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the corner of Washington and Veranda.
Okay.
I think in 2019, at that time I was not driving.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me to do so many things when my husband is not home. Mm-hmm. He was the only one who could drive us. And I have four children.
Oh, wow.
You can imagine when he's not home. So everything is like, I can do anything.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I remember when we were in our home country, he used to tell me, you need to drive. I say, why? I don't need to. You have to drive me. Because from my home to go to job, our company provide the bus and everything.
Oh, sure,
I worked for the Red Cross.
Yeah.
And then here I feel like, oh, I missed something. I could learn how to drive.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to say he was right, but
it's helpful.
He said, now you see, you can drive. Okay. I was supposed to take the bus for everything, sometimes taxis, and he was like, to get to Hannaford from my apartment, it took me like 2 hours. Because I have to take 2 buses.
Yeah.
If you missed one, no way.
Yeah. That's so hard.
One day I saw people from my apartment walking around the water. Can see the Back Cove. I said, because I love being outside.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to follow those people. I need to see where they are going. Maybe it's a good place for me to exercise, because being inside all the time, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get out and I follow those people. I realized that trail could connect me from my home to Hannaford in less than 45 minutes. I say, wow, this is handsome. I can go with my baby in the stroller from my home to Hannaford, buy some stuff and get back home. So I did exercise for myself and I get to the grocery store and I get back home safely. I say, thank you, God. That's still my favorite trail, and I called that short pathway. The day I started at Portland Trails, I told them, for me, trails means short pathway, because that's what it means for me and what it was. So I could use that as a transportation way.
I mean, exactly as it was intended, it sounds like. You know, you didn't have to get on the bus. You didn't have to be doing all these different things. You actually were connected to something that you wouldn't have been connected to otherwise. That's awesome.
Yeah. The day I know the organization and the amazing job they are doing, I said, oh, I was lucky to get that trail, because if Poland Trail was not there, if the trail was not there, I could get a hard time to get to the grocery store and other place. But
Yeah.
That was great.
That's awesome. I used to run that trail a lot. Back Cove. I did the loop.
Yeah.
I was running pretty well one time, and I passed a guy who was obviously very serious about running, and I like don't know how I passed him, and then he like immediately passed me back like as hard as possible, and I was like, "Whoa, dude!" But that was, I don't know, for some reason I had that memory of the trail.
That's so much fun. Yeah.
I was not trying to be competitive, but I
impromptu race.
Yeah,
on
yeah
back.
Right. Yeah, I didn't try to pass him again. I was just like, "You get this one."
Yeah.
What do you think, Liz? You want to take the next one?
Well, do you have a favorite?
Of oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Oh, right. I forgot. Oh, sorry. I also forgot.
I was so enchanted. I know. Angelique's story. Always. I always tell people, I'm like, I feel kind of bad. Like, I feel like picking a favorite tale is like picking a favorite kid because I'm like
passionate about all of them.
All of them are just as great. But I think... probably my favorite is the Presumpscot River Preserve. Mm-hmm. It's actually right on the border of Falmouth and Portland. Mm. But one of the reasons that I love it is because I moved to Portland in 2019 with my husband, and we were and then 6 months later the pandemic hit. Yeah. So it was a weird time to be in a new city.
Yes.
And everything was closed, and so we kind of found our way. We got to know Portland by going on the trails.
Yeah.
Because everything, you know, wasn't open. And of course, you know, I'm in Portland, and all I've heard about are all these amazing restaurants and culture, and I'm like, I can't do any of that.
Yeah.
So we discovered that, and there's this one time that we went. It was like on an Easter Sunday. It was the Easter Sunday morning of 2020.
Yeah.
And we were all in that state that we were all in the spring of 2020. And we walked along the river, and it was a beautiful day, and there's waterfalls at the end. Yep. And it was just, it was a little bit of a religious experience kind of. And I think it has just held like very special in my heart. And I just, I also like it in the way that it's short, but it really feels like, again, to give you a little dad point, Presumpscot River Preserve is a 15-minute drive from the middle of Portland.
Wow.
And it feels like, wow, I'm really out there. Like,
Yeah, totally. That's great.
I know. There's so many. I think Evergreen Cemetery is one that, and like, you hear, I think I was recommended by a coworker in the marketing team, and I just like was not somewhere I go on the Portland trails pretty frequently, and I hadn't explored that. And I think I went in winter, and it was just so beautiful, covered in snow, and there's a duck pond that was frozen, and it's really just a beautiful. And again, like you just like pull off a main road in Portland and then you're transported. And so it is pretty beautiful.
I was going to say too about the Evergreen Cemetery one is that exactly that duck pond. Cause I have a young daughter. I have two young daughters actually, but one of them, I went out there and there are so many frogs in that pond.
Oh my gosh.
It's like and frog haven and turtles. And there's always an egret there. It's just hanging out for some reason. No. It's been there like three times. Anyway, like amazing wildlife to just go stare at frogs.
Yeah. Have you ever caught the otters?
What?
It's so funny. There's these otters that come to the ponds there sometimes. And we call them the otter paparazzi because you know when they're there because there are like tons of people. And people like set up, you know, like professional professional photographers will set up like cameras and they're all like there. It's a big event.
I didn't even know we had otters in Maine.
You'll find those otters. That's awesome. I saw pileated woodpecker. That was the one. I had to learn what it was. It was big. It was bigger than I thought. It was like a crow-sized woodpecker. Yeah, it was huge.
It's a little terrifying.
It was a little bit, but it was cool. It was cool to see. I was excited.
So I guess, you know, lots of trails here in Greater Portland. How do people go about finding Portland trails?
Sure. Well, actually, that's part of the reason is that we're starting the Healthier Neighborhoods for All program was we were realizing that a lot of people didn't know where to find them. But... So there we have a pretty recognizable logo. Mm-hmm. So you'll sort of see that around. But also on our website, we have a digital trail map that's interactive. Mm. And if you allow the GPS on your phone or your computer, it'll also show you where you are.
Yeah.
So it'll show you like a you are here person, and it'll kind of go with you if you're walking something. So if you go there, it's a great place to just find out the different trails that are near you. Right now, every Portland resident is within a 10-minute walk of a Portland trail. Mm-hmm. So I guarantee you, if you live in Portland, you are within walking distance of a trail. So if you go on our website and look at that digital trail map, we also have paper maps available too. But that's probably the best way to find out where those are.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So on that subject of not everyone using the trails, how did you find that out? What was kind of the moment that you realized, oh, not everyone's using these trails, or not as many people are using the trails as we would like? Or
Yeah, I don't know if it was a moment, more so like a general realization, right. like a gradual mm-hmm. realization, I sure. guess I should say. We started this, it was probably maybe like, it was always something that I think we were focused on. Mm-hmm. But also, I think within the past, like, maybe it's like 5 to 10 years, as we've gotten more and more new Mainers mm-hmm. into Portland, we've sort of realized, kind of anecdotally, that the makeup of the demographics of Portland mm-hmm. is changing, but the makeup and demographics of trail users was not.
Right, yeah. right.
And that was a little bit of like a red flag of saying, okay, so what are we doing that
is not reaching?
Yeah. What is it? And there's a lot of reasons. And some of it is systemic. Some of it's just like the trail and outdoor world can tend to be kind of a white space. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we still can't do something about that, right?
Yeah.
And so a few years ago, we started kind of we called it a neighborhoods project at that point. And we started kind of going into different neighborhoods and setting up tables and trying to get some feedback of the people that living in different neighborhoods of Portland to say, like, what do you want on these trails? Or you know, what's keeping you from using trails? But, you know, it's hard to go on trails to find out who's not using trails.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes any difference. Yeah. Any sense. Yeah. We realized we kept coming up against a brick wall with that. Yeah. And we were like, okay, so this isn't working. And it's because, again, we strategically put these trails into all the different neighborhoods so people could use them and so that it would be a resource. Mm-hmm. But if people aren't using them, then what's the purpose, right?
Yeah.
So that's when we finally said, okay, we need to kick this thing into the next gear. Like, what we're doing isn't working. And that's when we said, we're going to start this Healthier Neighborhoods for All. We're going to go into a neighborhood and, like, hyper-focus on just that. Instead mm-hmm. of trying to, like, pepper it with different places. Right. Like, really get, like, hyper-local into that, like, community. And I think we need to hire someone that's not us, that this is like their full-time job mm-hmm. and that maybe they're from the immigrant community and can kind of relate to that.
Angelique, how long have you been with Portland Trails now?
7 months.
Okay, nice. So this is very new. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're already making a lot of like significant headway beyond, you know, Lindsay, what you were describing. That was probably years of effort. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you. And I feel like that, you know, I'm sure it has been years of work, but even just like the humility in recognizing that you didn't exactly know what the answer was, but knew you had to try something because, to your point, so many new people come living here in Maine and like these trails are such a resource. So how do we bridge that gap? And so, And I think you got introduced to Angelique through... in her presence, which is another wonderful partner that we have had the pleasure of interviewing on this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is kind of a little full circle moment here.
Yeah.
Well, Allagash is like you guys helped our meet cute. You are a matchmaker. Like you said, you know, we were looking for someone like, all right, we need to hire this inclusion coordinator. We want it to be full time. We were thinking, so, I mean, not to get ahead, but our first neighborhood that we're starting in is Riverton, which is right here where the Allagash Brewery is. And so at first we were thinking, well, maybe we get someone that's from Riverton.
Sure.
So that's really like in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But then we thought, well, we want to be able to also replicate this in different neighborhoods. So maybe if we get one person to hire full time, then that person can then move with the program.
Totally.
And you introduce us to Inner Presence, which is an amazing organization. I know you all interviewed
them.
Yeah, it was actually two different people. It was Jeff and Zoe
who interviewed them. I was like, that was me.
Just because Jeff, oh yes, I was there. Yeah. I wasn't there. Yeah. But no, that was Jeff. Yeah. Jeff and Zoe did an awesome job.
Yeah. They are amazing. They do great work. And basically they said, we have the person for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Anjali came, and what I remember you said when they first approached you about Portland Trails.
Yeah. So it was because I didn't know that Alagash recommended you to come to in your presence. Because with Alagash, I know that I led another project with the Children's Museum.
Yeah.
Oh.
That one, yeah. Alagash planted that project.
Oh.
And it was, I was between the immigrant families and the Children's Museum.
Sure.
To help them go to the museum with their children to explore and learn something new, because this is a new culture and new country and everything.
Yeah.
So I did that. It was with a big success. And then when I heard about Portland Trails, I said, what is that? I know trails, but the name.
Yeah.
I still learn English, and that name Trails was not in my mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
To be sure. And I was like, what is that? Is that a truck? No. I just get my license. I don't need to drive any truck. Mary, no, that's not my place. And Mary was laughing. She said, Anjali.
Right.
You will not be
driving
any truck.
Yeah, it's the opposite of driving trucks. Yeah, yeah.
You say, okay, I know that. I am sure I know how to drive, but not a truck, no. Yeah. And yeah, just for that. And she said, no. It's a trail. Start explaining me what the meaning of trail and things like that. Because she speaks French. She said, it's just something. She gave me some example. I said, oh, I have my favorite trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the back of one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's amazing. And I would love to take that job because I love being outside.
Yeah.
Me and the nature, we have some connection. And through my career, I have an education on tourism and things like that. I love being outside and being a guide for people. That will be an awesome job. So I will enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
And when I joined the organization, I met amazing people.
Yeah.
They are great.
That, I think, from what I understand, the way that we'll get into talking about what Healthier Neighborhoods for All is, but I feel like the part that struck me was that you didn't necessarily come in with a plan. Yeah. You kind of came in with we want to listen. We want to understand what the plan should be. And I feel like from some of the anecdotes you've told, it sounds like, Angelique, you've been really helpful in, being that person who's bridging the gap and figuring out what the plan is. There was an example of you going and sitting at a school, right? And trying to basically get people to be coming on the trails and just be interacting. That's a great story, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, so we had started, we're partnering with the Talbot School, which is right over here.
Yeah.
And we went to their, it was like a summer learning dinner thing. And so we were there and we were a few organizations and we're trying to get people to fill out these surveys in Riverton to say, do you use the trails? If not, why? Or what do you want on them? So it's kind of just getting people who are sort of used to it. But anyways, we're trying to hand out these surveys. Schools are great places for that because you get, the parents and the kids and all that. So we have this table set up and we're there and we have all the surveys and all of our cute little Portland Trails stuff.
Yeah.
And Angelique and I are sitting there, and the only people that are coming up to the tables are the white parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And, they're talking to me, they're talking to Angelique, and blah, blah, blah. And Angelique kind of came over. She kind of whispered to me at some point. She's like, I don't think this is working. Yeah. I was like, I know. And she's like, okay, give me a second. And then she takes the surveys. We have the surveys in 7 different languages. So she takes, a couple of each of the surveys. And she just starts going around to the tables and literally just sitting down with people and are like, hi, how are you? Do you speak Portuguese? Oh, okay. Here, this is. I want you to fill out this survey.
Yeah.
Just literally sitting down with people and doing it. I know it seems like such a little thing, but it really does make a big difference.
How did the people react when you were sitting down with them? Were they happy about it? Were they kind of confused?
Yeah, they were. So the problem is that we need to have some strategy. We need to know how people are acting.
Yeah.
So you can sit there. Sometimes people are afraid. They don't know how to come to you. Mm-hmm. They don't speak English. They say, what can I go do there?
Yeah.
What is that? And I were like, I saw so many migrants in there. So the black people like me say, okay. I am one of you.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be afraid of you. I will just come and try to do something different.
Yeah.
So you just greet them and try to explain who I am and what I need them to do.
Sure.
Just sharing some information.
Yeah.
Do you know that you have some amazing trails around you? If you been get there one day, so if you have a chance, if you tried them, oh, I don't know where is it, or things like that. Which language are you speaking?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one can you read and write correctly? Yeah. And say, okay, it's French. Okay, I speak French too. And then we tried. I can explain each question. And then can you fill out? And they were confident and they tried filling out them. And they gave me some information like telephone number and apartment number, where they live. And they were confident and they said,
yeah,
I would like go there, but I don't know if I can go alone because I never go there.
Sure.
You have a right person here. Mm-hmm. Your time will be my time. I will take you outside and you will enjoy being outside in nature and things like that. Say, oh, since I am here, nobody told me about this.
Yeah.
And I feel great. And I told the Lindsay, I said, I have a plane and it works. Yeah. And because we can still there all the day and nobody will come.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if even the most basic thing, like the name, if there's not a direct translation, like you said, of the word trails, then there's already confusion.
For myself, I cannot lie to you. I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
And when they saw that in different languages, oh, it's a short pathway. It's like, oh, it can connect me to this, that, and oh, I know. I can try this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think, Angelique, you were saying, too, that sometimes trails will sometimes, it will translate sometimes into other languages, but it's like, the meaning behind it is like a mountain.
Yeah.
Or like, like I'm going out for days and it's going to be like a whole, like,
adventure.
Not like the trip. Yeah. And she has this, Angelique has this awesome business card that on the front's all of her info, and on the back it's trails translated into 5 different languages. But in like the what we mean by trails,
right? Not like the dictionary definition. That's great.
Yeah.
So smart.
That make people feel like more welcomeable. They feel like, oh, Poland trails know me, and then they know like I need to get this in my own language and then things like that.
Yeah.
I remember when you told me you took a job, we don't know, it's just somebody who just going here. Nobody else gave you like a step to follow, like things like that.
Yeah.
How are you going to build that trust and relationship? I say, okay, can you trust me? I know that it's hard, but I can do it.
Yeah.
And the first step was to educate myself about the organization. I spent like a month reading the website, go in it, forth, everything. And when I was ready, I said, okay, now I can take some basic information in the simple word, things like that, where people can understand because they don't need complicated things. They are going to so many things. The level of stress is so high. I need to make things simple and clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give a presentation, after the presentation, everyone is, wow, I need to go. I need to go out. And it's like, I feel good. I say, okay, come on, guys. And you can use it for benefit. Your benefit is not for my own benefit. I know that I will work with you.
Mm-hmm.
I will benefit that too. But it's especially for you because you are not going there.
Yeah.
You don't use to go there. But you will love when you will start going outside.
And thinking like to the point of stress as well, you know, like that being out in nature is like the most effective way for me personally to like reduce my stress, to make you know, just reconnect, breathe a little bit. Like that's actually a significantly helpful thing for a lot of the immigrants who are here.
Right. And I think Riverton, which is the neighborhood we are in here at Allagash, is a very high population of immigrant families. And so I think something, Angelique, that you say frequently is that, you know, you don't need it's an expensive gym membership or, you know, they have access to the outdoors to help mental health and to have physical activity. And there's just so many barriers that you've both been working on sort of breaking to get more people out there for those benefits.
You know, most of the apartments are so small.
Yeah.
Outside, it's a parking lot for everyone.
Right.
Kids cannot have access to play. now we are in vacation. The schools are closed. So for many of the kids, they cannot go to the school playground by their own. Mm-hmm. So they need parents to be involved in this.
Oh, man.
And then found a time just to bring the kids outside. What I used to do through my presentation, I said, that's the love for yourself. Hmm. It's like being selfish for a moment. Just think about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love yourself. If you love yourself, help yourself, and you can help others.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be there to love everyone, but you don't have the love of yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You need to think, what can I do for myself? Just taking your body. Try to walk outside and enjoy nature.
Yeah.
It's such a good philosophy.
Yeah,
that
it's
we could all
it's
use.
An important one. Yes.
Right. To remind
important
ourselves.
To remember.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Totally.
I guess, what have you been, so you've been doing all these surveys to understand, have any of the answers surprised you at all in what you're hearing?
Most of them was like, they don't know where the trails are, mm-hmm. so they need information. And they don't know if it's free mm-hmm. for everyone.
Right. Right.
Because it looks like some, they know that there is trails, but they feel like it's a private property, right, things like right. that they cannot go through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just few people said, I need to go with a group. Like, I don't feel like I can go by my own.
Mm-hmm.
Because one person told me that if maybe I can go and run, and then I feel bad, I can fall down, who will help me? I need to be with somebody. Yeah. I say, okay, you are right. I cannot say you have to call the 911 before you fall down. Because you will not be aware that I am going to fall.
Yeah.
So just be with your friends, with your family. Say, oh, can I go with my children? Say, yes.
Yeah.
If they are in the car seat, it's hard for me to walk with them. I say some of our trails are good for the stroller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some you can just have your baby, you can carry her here or something mm-hmm. like that, because it will be hard to use the stroller on mm-hmm. some of our trails. But some are good for stroller or wheelchairs or things like that. So.
And that's, it's just interesting too, the kind of communication difficulty, where it's like, it's awesome. It sounds like you're making headway.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're really figuring out some great stuff.
And a lot of that is Angelique, though. I have to say, I don't know if you've been able to tell, but she is an amazingly charming person.
Yes.
I mean, there really is not.
Yeah, I would agree.
This is not a visual medium, so you can't see, but she's laughing and she's very embarrassed right now.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
But I mean, truly, because it takes someone that's not scared to go up to people and just start talking and all of that. And she has this, maybe it's because you're a mom of four, but she has this great mom energy about getting people out. Be like, don't worry about it. I'm going to be here the whole time. I'll take you. Don't worry. You know, coming out.
Yeah.
I think one of the things, too, we were surprised about is we weren't sure why people weren't using trails. Yeah. And it could have been a bunch of different things. Maybe that they were scared to use it. Maybe they felt like they didn't have time. Maybe they like legitimately did not have time or any of that. And kind of overwhelmingly, what we've found is that people are just like, I didn't know they were for me. I didn't know they were there. I don't know where to find them. And that's kind of the biggest takeaway in the 6 months that we've been doing it so far, is just that people just needed an invite.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All.
That's super
that's
cool.
That's it. Because you know what? Nature kind of speaks for itself. Like, once you're there... Yeah. Great. And it just takes someone like Angelique to be able to just kind of make that connection.
You know, you've been leading these group walks, which I think in terms of like building somebody's confidence in using these trails must go such a long way. And so maybe it only takes one group walk and then someone feels confident enough to take their friend for a group walk. And so it sounds like you've also been having some success with sort of showing people the trails beyond just talking about them and introducing them.
Yeah, I used to spend my time on the presentation. I need to explain why I need them to use that.
Yeah.
The benefit of using trails. When somebody will hear that, just by walking outside or biking, they will reduce the risk to attract some disease like diabetes, like high blood pressure. So they will work on their mental health and things like that. They feel, oh, okay, this sounds good, and I have to understand that it's for their own benefit. It's not for somebody else, because maybe they can thought, oh, you are doing this because you need us to pay money for that because that's your job.
Right.
But it's free.
Yeah.
And open to everyone. I am not here to selling something. So it's just, I just need you to be healthy.
Yeah.
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 Right. So
that's make that very important. And then people can trust me and they can follow me. And then after the work, everyone is good and feel happy. They need a next step. They're asking me what will be our next step. So when can we meet again to do the second work and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And after each work, I feel like, oh, I did it. And it was great.
Yeah. And I feel like one of the stories you recently told was, did you take a group of people on the Eastern Prom or something about the ocean? And there was such a surprise. And it, you know, we take for granted we're on the coast. And I, you know, it's such a given to me anyway. And so I think you had said that
that's the Portland Adult Education student.
Right. Yeah.
I went there a lot, you know, so starting middle of May and now I'm like 3 times a week out on the trail. Huh. I do like a presentation. After a presentation, we go out for a walk. Because Eastern Prom is so close to Portland Adult Education, just 10 minutes a walk.
Oh, okay.
Just after that, we go around. Then when we get to the ocean, to the beach and things, people are excited. They get to the water. I have some short videos of people playing with water. And then they are exciting. They took so many pictures. And we are running about the time because it's a 2 hours class. From the presentation, all the work, the teacher are rushing and the students are like, they don't care. So, okay, if you see that like you are done, teacher, see you next week. You can go and leave us here. And I was like, no, you cannot do that. We finish with your teacher and get back together. Then we will plan for the next step.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
After a walk, they send me the message. They send me the email and some are waiting for our WhatsApp group because they don't use emails. Yeah, they don't communicate with me.
That was the thing. That was one of the ones that kind of switched a light bulb for me, is that a lot of the immigrants who you're trying to kind of talk to don't really use email or don't really pay as much attention to it. And so they prefer to use the phone. And it's like one of these things where how else are you going to find that out unless you literally talk to them and are able to speak their language even. Like I took French in high school for like 4 years. I don't think I speak French. I don't really speak any French anymore. I could maybe understand a little bit, but sorry, French teachers in high school.
Yeah, because we don't have people to practice with.
That's definitely, why. Definitely.
It's a language because I can realize when I got here in 2018, I was not speaking English because I have people around me and I pushed up myself so high to try to speak. And I can listen to you. I can understand what you are saying and I can respond back.
Yeah.
Before it was like, my mind is like in translating. Like, you are in English. You are coming to me. Time to think.
Yeah.
To translate that to French and then get the response. Coming back to you, it will take me like 5 minutes of thinking.
And
you can say, what does it doing? This looks weird, but you cannot imagine what is going on in my brain.
But
now I am not translating anymore. I can listen and then respond back if I have a response. So it's like people, so in Africa, most of the people who are using emails are some who are working in the office, like
sure.
The office job and things like that. You are there, you can respond to most of the email they send. But if you were maybe in production, if you were in, maybe you are doing some businesses, you don't need to have an email or something like that. You can just buy your stuff and you can communicate through the phone and things like that. You can do your business and something else.
Yeah.
When we got here with the language and everything, even the student, they have email set up for the adult education, but they are not using them.
Yeah.
And if Portland Trails was like sending emails and putting things in the social media, waiting for people to respond back, they will not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I told them, no. I discovered that most of people are using WhatsApp when they have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they need like using the phone call and things like that. I have just my own phone. I don't need to mix my private life
and
a work life. That will be terrible because it's a bunch of people out there.
Yeah, but you're becoming a very popular person.
Yeah, and I will not make a difference between the work email and WhatsApp and things like that.
Yeah.
I need just something for Elfier Neighborhood Project, just a phone, just for that. Where I can share pictures, where I can share information about the upcoming event, where I can call people and get some feedback about the work, what they like, what they didn't like, what can we improve, and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great place to let us know how people can get involved if they want to.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. So we have a great little page on our website, the Healthier Neighborhoods for All. I think the biggest thing that if you live in Portland or in Riverton, fill out one of our surveys. We have them. We have online versions in 7 different languages. We also have paper versions at the Riverton Library branch if you want to go there and fill that out. We're also going to be kind of overlapping now and moving a little bit into the Sagamore Village area. Great. So filling out surveys is just really helpful. And it doesn't matter if you are a new Mainer, an immigrant or not. We want to hear back from you. So don't let that stop you. So definitely that. If you have a group, if you are an immigrant organization or immigrant assistant organization or a BIPOC-led organization, and you want Angelique to come do one of these amazing presentations, we call them kind of like Welcome to the Trails or Trails 101. They're great. Something that we've found out is that it's hard to get people kind of cold to just go out on a trail when you've never been on one before without some general info. And so these presentations have been really great because it's like Angelique breaks it down and says like, here's what this is for. This is what you should do. She was very modest. She speaks 4 languages. So, we've done presentations before. We'll also provide other interpreters too, if you need that. So if you're an organization that thinks you would love to have Angelique come and give one of these presentations or do a group walk, please reach out to us. And the other way is just becoming a Portland Trails member. We are a member-led organization. We have over 1,000 members. And all of the all of these donations and membership fees to be part of Portland Trails goes into helping programs just like that. And that's probably the simplest way you can kind of get involved is just get into our community and and kind of help us out that way.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you so much
for coming. Yeah, thank you so much.
This is such a fun conversation to have.
That's good.
I didn't want to go out on a trail. I might just go get right out of here onto a trail.
Yeah. We can do that. It's right across the street.
It's literally right across the Riverton Trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
So those coming days, we'd be busy at Riverton because I will start some activities soon.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have the events online in any capacity? Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep. On that website we have, we're still getting some of the surveys. So, and we're trying to figure out what people want to do.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it is kind of just hearing back from people and doing events that people are interested in. So we've heard a lot about group walks. People really want picnics. Mm-hmm. So we're actually doing a picnic, for In Her Presence, in about a week and a half or so like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be the 28th.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's a Wednesday. So that's because the teacher is available that day.
Right. Okay.
They used to do the online class. She never met a student in person.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And when I gave the presentation to that class, she said, we will reserve one day before the end of the school year to meet in person. That will be a big walk with Angelique outside and enjoy that. I said, okay, that will be great. I will be here waiting for you. Yeah. And it's coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Also, with the new homeless center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I have a presentation scheduled on July, I think the first Friday of July.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I don't know the date yet, but it's the first Friday of July.
Mm-hmm.
That will be Friday at noon.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Great.
They said they used to have a staff meeting at that time with all the guests and everyone. That will be a good time for me if I need to give a presentation there.
Mm-hmm.
So they are so close to our trends. Yeah. I need them to have a time to take advantage of using them to relax because they are stressed. They don't know where to go. They just get here.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, life is clear now because I know what to do. And my kids are already at school and things. So for them, they are single. Some maybe left their children in the home country mm-hmm. and they are thinking about so many things at the same time. When can they get the work permit? When can they found their own apartment and things like that? The level of stress is so high.
Yeah.
I need them to feel like they are here already. They don't need to care about all those stuff. They can maybe things took a long time to work, but it will be clear one day they need to relax and walk outside.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the background there a little bit is, so there was a very large homeless service center that was built right nearby us, like maybe like probably like a 4 minute walk. And a lot of the people who are actually using that center right now are immigrants or new, like recent immigrants to Maine, because
that's right.
we are a pretty big sanctuary city in that way. So it's just interesting because it's like, yeah, I can see like coming here, not really knowing where to go or what to do. It's like, it's so important just to be able to reach out and just provide, you know, just something to take some stress
just
off.
Just welcoming.
Man,
and like, it's also about, I mean, there's a million different logistics that, and that has to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like all of that has to happen. But also, is there a way we can give just a little bit of joy?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of something, you know, in an otherwise chaotic time of life.
Totally.
And even if they don't go on trails right away, it's something that like, oh, I was introduced to this when I first got here. Later on, maybe I can take advantage of it.
Yeah, at the right time. I know that I'm allowed to go on this. I know that I don't have to pay to go on this. I know that I'm not going to get in trouble or something that's going to jeopardize my, you know, legality. You know, I feel like there's so many different things that would I would be, you know, totally agonizing over where I'm in that situation.
Totally,
so it's really nice.
I got one question when I was giving the presentation at the Poland Adult Education. One student asked me, if I go out on the trail, I don't have the paper yet. Like, I don't have green card. I don't have anything.
Right.
Well, so maybe I can be in trouble. Somebody will ask me my papers and things like that, my identity and things. I say, oh, on the trail, you will never find somebody like that.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
So you are free to go outside. You have the right to exercise and relax yourself. So nobody will ask you about your...
Yeah.
Like citizenship or things like that. Nobody asked you a question about that. So some people are scared.
Off of someone's shoulders. Yeah.
They don't only say, maybe it's not good for me to go there. They prefer to be just where they are living and things like that.
Yeah.
Being like just inside, that's the level of stress will just go up and up.
Yes, it will.
We'll be having more events too in Riverton, and that we'll just post it on our website. And then there's also like Portland Trails general events. We're doing a scavenger hunt in July.
Cool.
Just like all throughout the city, and where I think we're going to make a little Riverton track just for Riverton.
Aww.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So all that's on our website. And it's any way someone wants to get involved. We feel just in general that these trails, we don't own these trails. Mm-hmm. They belong to the people that live around them.
Mm-hmm.
We're simply just stewards and just want to help people enjoy it as much as they can.
Totally.
Well, thank you both.
Yeah,
this
thank you
fantastic.
Both. This is so fun to chat and to hear all about it and all the what you have planned and everything else. It sounds really awesome. It's exciting.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
This is our pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Nice.
This has been an Allagash Brewing production. And if you have something you want us to talk about on the show, shoot us a message at podcast@allagash.com.